Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Ryder Lee. Before I bring him on, just a couple of announcements. First, you can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Go check us out on Rockfin. It's where you get all our premium content. You can also get our regular shows, and best of all the amazing content from every creator that is there on Rockfin. You can create a free account and see what they have to offer. Check out the amazing new podcast, 5D Forbidden Knowledge Network. You can get them all in one place. Go check out what we got. Our website is forbiddenknowledge.news. Finally, guys, I want to tell you about C60 Purple Power, which may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It is made from some of the purest and most rare material found on Earth. So many have told me amazing stories about how they took back their health with C60. Especially if you're reaching that gray hair stage in life. Just click the link in the description. You get 10% off your order plus free shipping. Today I want to welcome back Ryder Lee. He is a truth seeker, knowledge guardian, and spiritual educator. He uses his real-world experiences to educate and elevate others to awaken, question their reality, and expand their consciousness. He is host and creator of Raised by Giants, where he interviews others from all backgrounds about their spiritual awakening to bring people different perspective of what's going on in the world on an individual and collective level. He shares insight, knowledge, wisdom, and awareness from personal experiences. Ryder, welcome back. How you doing today?
Doing great, Chris. Thanks so much for having me on again. It's an honor and a privilege to be on your show. Thank you.
Of course, man. Raised by Giants is on fire. I'm loving the work you're doing there, the guests that you're having, the messages you're bringing. It's really what we need right now, and you're doing an excellent job doing it. And I want to thank you, and thank you for being part of the network. And yeah, man, we got to get this message out there to people.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for being an instrumental part in all of this. I really appreciate it. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have your help and assistance. So, much love and gratitude for you and Corey and everyone that's really helped me out along the way, because I'd probably, who knows what what would be going on right now if I didn't have you guys' help. So thank you all. I appreciate it a lot.
Oh, man, you're doing great stuff. And, hopefully there's really good things in the future for what's to come in this dystopian nightmare that we're living in. But today I thought we could find out a little bit more about you and what brought you down your path. And you've had some pretty interesting unexplained experiences in your life as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I've had paranormal experiences happen to me my whole life, basically. It's been one big supernatural and paranormal kind of life. But, yeah, it started out basically whenever I was really young. I've talked about this before. I'm pretty sure I talked about it on your show, so I won't get too deep into it. But whenever I was younger, from the age that I could really remember, I would see beings come out of my walls at night. They were translucent beings that would morph out of the walls, and they would surround me. There was up to 8 of them that would surround me every night. They were non-corporeal. They weren't like physical entities. And that scared the shit out of me, you know, when I was younger, because you know, you don't know what's going on, and then you try and tell people about it, and they think that you're crazy and there's something wrong with you. And I did tell my mom and my dad, and they thought that something was wrong with me. And like, my mom took me to the eye doctor and was like, yeah, he's seen strange things at nights and stuff. And the doctor was actually really cool about it. He actually gave me a little card. It was like these bunch of circles, and they were red. And he told me to like look at it until the circles popped off of the card. It was like an index card. And he was like, can you make the circles like come off of the card? And I was like, yeah, of course I can do that, you know. And now I'm figuring out that is actually your third eye. That's how you see things. You slightly blur your vision. And if you're if there's like a something that you want to see how it actually is and what it really looks like, you're able to do that. And if you slightly blur your vision, it will kind of, it'll either pop off of the wall or pop off of whatever it is that you're looking at, or it will split apart. So you can do that for like, I've been looking at a lot of sacred geometry that Michael Lee Hill has been putting together, because he creates these discs like this, these energy healing discs. And I try and have him send me the raw form of it, the actual drawn out shape. And then I look at it with my third eye, and you can see so many different interesting things whenever you do that. Like it splits apart, and then it actually makes something else in the middle of it. And when something is perfect, like a perfect sacred geometry type of image, there'll be like a perfect circle in the middle of it. So that's how you know that the sacred geometry is actually like a portal, right? And that's what he does. He creates these energy portals through his disc. So I kind of try and take a look at, you know, some of his work to, you know, make sure that the portal is, you know, that is perfect, you know. And sometimes there'll be like three or four different circles that will pop off of it, and then sometimes they'll just be one. It depends on the kind of sacred geometry that I'm looking at, because that's what I believe a lot of the sacred geometry and symbols really are. They are actual portals, and they're bringing energy in from maybe a different reality, a different universe or something. And a lot of it is positive energy. But back to the paranormal stuff. So I would see the beings come out of the wall. I would had a lot of intuition and a lot of things going on whenever I was younger too. I was able to see things before they would happen. I would be able to predict songs that would on the radio that would be coming up next. And almost every single time I'd be able to get it like right on the money. I'd be like, yeah, whatever song is going to be next. And then it would play. And I would also get later on in my life, I would get like spiritual downloads about things that were going on, you know, that we live in a multidimensional reality, and our reality is only separated from all the other realities by a very thin veil. And we can actually tap into all of the different levels of existence, and that we live in a 3D reality. There's 4D reality, 5D, and then so on and so on, however many that people think that there is there really is. But the paranormally, because whenever I was a kid, like everyone has a really big imagination when they're a kid, right? So I was really into, Power Rangers and Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that whenever I was a kid. And I also did Taekwondo and Karate whenever I was really young. So I would, I was always punching and kicking and doing flips and all kinds of stuff. I had a trampoline outside, and I would, beat the shit out of some pillows, you know, and pretend that they're a super ultra bad guy that I need to take down, you know?
Yeah.
And I would also do that with, you know, grocery bags, right? Like I would like throw grocery bags up in the air, and then I would see how many times I could hit the grocery bag before it fall. And it would make that sound like that whooshing sound whenever you would fling open a grocery bag or whatever. I would do that literally all the time. And one night I was laying down in my bed, and I heard that same sound, like people, like something was throwing up a grocery bag and hitting it. Right. And I'm laying there and I'm like, what's going on? And it kind of, freaked me out. And I've kind of come to the conclusion that a lot of these paranormal events and things that we experience in our life could actually be us, right? Because our energy is very easily transferable, right? Our energy impacts our environment in a bunch of different ways, you know? So could it have been me that was actually making these, these kind of paranormal events happen on my own through my energy, my residual energy that was left over from me doing it. I don't know. I think that's a pretty good theory for some of the paranormal events. And of course, there are also entities and beings that are separate from you that can interact with you and do things in your environment. But for certain things like that, I think that it actually just could indeed be us. But then later on, I spoke about this on another show a couple of weeks ago, that me and my family, we went on vacation one time, and when we came back home, my dad had this old guitar that he always wanted to learn how to play, right? And he never really messed with it, and it was just kind of like collecting dust behind a old raggedy chair, one of those 80s and 70s 80s chair that was one of those super bright colors, you know what I'm talking about. And I think it was like yellow or something, some nasty yellow puke green or some shit. And it was in the living room, and whenever we got home, we were the kind of family that turned off everything. Whenever we left on vacation, we unplug, you know, all of our electronics and everything's besides, you know, the refrigerator and stuff, but we turn off power strips and everything. So we came in and we heard a guitar playing. And I was like, what is that? Like, there's a radio here, but the radio is like unplugged, and we hadn't been home for like a week, and it was like something was like picking on a guitar. I don't remember the harmony or anything. I just remember the event very vividly. And my dad was like, that sounds like my guitar that's playing. I'm like, oh, well, where is it? You know? And it kept playing for like probably a solid minute or so until we could find the guitar. And whenever he moved the chair out from to find the guitar, it like stopped playing. I'm like, huh, that's, you know, super interesting. But because of these events and these kinds of things, I later on in my life, I started to get really deep into paranormal investigating. And I've been to some of the most haunted places on the East Coast doing paranormal investigations. Some of them were, you know, private investigations that, you know, we paid for out of our pocket, and others were group tours. You know, I've been to Moundsville Penitentiary in Moundsville, West Virginia. I've been to Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in Weston, West Virginia. I've been to the Rectory. I've been to Bobby Mackey's Music World. I've been to Prospect Place in Trinway, Ohio. I've been to Moundsville Penitentiary. I've been to a lot of different super Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky. It's rated in the top three most haunted places in the United States. And interesting things would always happen at these places, like things that I couldn't really explain. And not a lot of big things would actually happen in the places that everyone had been to. It was always like places that not a lot of people knew about, where crazy things would really happen. Like whenever me and my dad, we went to this old farmhouse that was built in 1855, I believe is the date that it was built. It was actually in concrete on the front of the building. And no one had, like, the people that owned it owned the farm that it was sitting on, but no one had been in it for a really long time. And we went there during the day to check it out, to make sure that, you know, everything was safe for us to be in there. And the owners let us on the property. And at this time I had, you know, just a crappy stony handy cam with some lights and a little recorder. And we went in, and there was a super uneasy feeling whenever we went there at night. And I remember sitting in the back room, and there was like this weird, like, creature thing. It was almost like a staticky type thing where, you know, like old school TVs where you could, you turn the knob and it was nothing but static, you know, it was like that. And I seen that like peeking around a door and I'm like, oh shit, what is that? And I'm like, you know, Dad, do you see this thing? And he was like, yeah, I see it. And then like, it went away. And then we're like, oh shit. Well, we need to like go upstairs. Cause I felt really uneasy about it. And we went upstairs and we're sitting in one of the back bedrooms. This is a huge house. It was like a mansion, basically. It had, you know, three levels. It was a really big room. So it was an old school house. And we're sitting in one of the back bedrooms. And mind you, this is on a road that nobody goes down. You know, it's on a dirt road. It leads, you actually have to, you know, travel up a hill and then you go left. And then it's like maybe a half a mile down the road. No one, you know, lives on that property. And it's a really rough terrain to get there too. So we're sitting there. It's probably around 2 a.m. at night. And we're sitting there and we hear what sounded like car doors shutting, but we're right by a window and we could see if any car pulled up. Even if they had their headlights off, you would still see brake lights. You would still see parking lights and everything. We heard what sounded like a car pull up and door shut. Right. And there were what sounded like the front door open and then the front door closed. And then we proceeded to hear like an entire family, bro, just come into the house, kids yelling, kids screaming, like they're running around playing, voices, we're hearing voices, but we're not seeing anything. You know, there was no lights, nothing. And I'm like, you know, looking at my dad, I'm like, are you hearing the same thing that I'm hearing? Cause this is tripping me out right now. You know, I'm probably like 16, 17 years old at this time. And he was like, yeah, I'm hearing it. And I was like, well, what are you hearing? And he was like, it was like a whole entire family just came into the house, like with, you know, three kids just running around, and we would hear footsteps and running and like all kinds of things. And we heard it for like 10 minutes. I just sat there. I was like, I couldn't really move because I was, you know, stunned by what I was experiencing. And eventually it stopped and we got up and kind of, you know, explored a little bit more and nothing really happened for the rest of the night. But that was a really eye-opening experience that these things can happen and they're just right beyond our perception of reality. And then, you know, things kind of progressed from there. And I, you know, I started going to different places with one of my best friends. We kind of created this little team and we would, you know, go around and we would try and book certain places. We wanted to, start like a show because I was really super into it, you know. And
how old were you at this time when you started this group?
I was probably around 19. And yeah, we started this group and it was just me and my friends and sometime my dad would come on the investigations with us too. But one time, this is my last one, I'll let you answer some questions. It's really interesting because I haven't been able to talk about a lot of these experiences before, so I'm just kind of going off.
Yeah, that's
great. But one night we decided, we were like, okay, well, we're going to go to Bobby Mackey's Music World, which was really famous and made famous by Ghost Adventures. It was their first episode in, you know, Ghost Adventures season one, where, you know, all this demonic activity and all this stuff was happening and all that. Well, we booked it. It was super freaking expensive for some reason. I don't even know why we did it. It was just for one night. But the lady that booked it for us, the lady that you go through to get into Bobby Mackey's Music World, was like, well, I have another haunted location that you can stay at for, you know, while you come up here and, you know, do the ghost tour at Bobby Mackey's Music World. And we were like, heck yeah, two for one, let's do it. And we don't have to pay for, you know, a hotel room or anything. So, we go to Bobby Mackey's Music World. We do the investigation there. It was very lame, to say the least. I think it was completely blown out of proportion. Like, there was really nothing going on there that I could even feel. The only thing that we actually did capture a light coming on that we had previously turned off before. But I think the lore and the legend of the place has really gotten, has really strung it along. But anyway, we decided to go to stay at this other place that was called the Wolf House. And that's the title that this lady had given it. And we stayed the night there, and we found it to be way more active than what Bobby Mackey's Music World even thought about being. And I think, again, I think it comes down to, you know, people not being there all the time, right? The things seem to be more active when people don't live in the residence, or people don't go to these places very often, because I think that all the energy has kind of been stored up in that environment, and then it gets let off whenever people come in. That's just my theory personally. But we get there and we stay the night, and we're like, holy crap, like, this place is super active. There's definitely something going on here. And me and my friend were like, okay, well, let's just, film a documentary about this place. And let's come in here and let's just, stay for a solid week. You know, and let's just film the entire process. We'll make a super awesome documentary out of it. And I was like, heck yeah, bro, I'm totally game. Let's do it. So we end up going there. We pay for the time, which wasn't expensive as Bobby Mackey's, because it's not as known. So we get there and we spend the week. And it was so disorienting there for some reason. There was something more going on there that was, I don't know if you could call it demonic or like poltergeist or something like that, but it was really dense and heavy in the entire house. And the longer that you stayed there, it seemed like the more that the house started to mess with you, if that makes any sense. And we would capture a bunch of light anomalies. Like, one time, because there was a two-story house, and there was like this little upstairs area of the house that was kind of like an attic, but it's more of like a loft area. And we have all our cameras set up. We have the stationary cameras and everything set up around the house, and we're sitting upstairs, and we see this, we're somehow looking downstairs, but we see this, like, the entire downstairs just light up in a huge bright white light. And I'm like, holy crap, dude, what was that? And then we go downstairs and check the cameras, and we captured it. And then another thing that happened was the next day, my friend had his camera rig laying down on a glass table in the living room. And we were both in the bedroom checking out some different things. And this was in the middle of the daytime. And we're looking at some, checking out the bedroom and stuff. And we hear a loud bang, like something had just, like, fallen. And we reviewed the cameras, and it was literally his camera that was placed on the glass table had lifted up off of the table and dropped back down on the table. And I'm like, holy shit, dude, like, this thing's getting, it's progressing, it's all coming to something, some kind of fruition, some kind of event is going to happen, because it started out small and it started getting bigger. So the fifth day that we're there, and the story's kind of long, but it's important. So the fifth day that we're there, we decided to go down into the basement, because there's something off about the basement. There's something dark down there. And we decide to go down there and taunt whatever is down there. And I don't recommend doing that. Like, you can you can do it for, certain entities and things that aren't powerful, and you're not probably not going to get a response. But
yeah, I toned it a cave goblin this morning. Meh.
Stupid freaking cave goblin. Yeah. Show me what you got, bro. But we decided to go down there, and we were taunting it, and I was like, you know, do something, slam a door, rattle something, you know, slam something, you know, show us, you know, basically what you got, you know. And we were like, okay, well, they're not going to do anything. So we turned around and started to go back upstairs. And as we were getting ready to turn, as we were getting ready to go up the stairs, we heard the freaking doorknob to one of the rooms just like rattling, just like shaking. I'm like, huh, that's weird, because I was telling it to do that. I was like, rattle the freaking doorknob, do something, shut the door, you know, slam the door, make a loud bang, bang on the freaking washer and dryer or something, you know? And my friend was like, yeah, I got, I'm not feeling good at all. And we went upstairs, and he was like, yeah, dude, I'm not feeling the best. And he started puking up blood. And I was like, oh shit. Like,
this is actually like a good episode of Ghost Hunters, like something I'd want to watch.
Yeah, bro. It was crazy. Crazy stuff. It was golden material, you know, but it unfortunately never got made, which is a travesty. But so he goes upstairs, and he's like, he's all pissed off, and he throws all of his things off, and he starts puking up blood in the toilet. I'm like, all right, bro, we're, you know, thank God this is our last day here. You know, we get to go home, you know, after this, we just got to make it through one more night. And we're like, yeah, we're done with the basement. We're not going to go back down there. And literally as we're getting ready to go to sleep, I get up to go into the kitchen to grab a bottle of water. And before I make it out of the room, the entire freaking house starts shaking. No joke, dude. Like, the entire house, it feels like there's a freaking earthquake.
Now, this happening. Wasn't an earthquake, though.
No, this wasn't an earthquake. This is in Kentucky. You know, okay. No earthquakes happen in Kentucky. Okay. So the entire house starts shaking, and I am standing there like stunned, just like standing up, like looking at my friend. I'm like, what is happening right now? I've never experienced anything like this in my life. And it was so bad, Chris, that it almost felt like the house was going to collapse. Right. I almost wanted to break the freaking window and dip out right then and there. And it lasted, and I was like, you want to go downstairs and see if he's going down there? And he was like, no, we're not going downstairs. And I was like, all right, well, we'd probably see some crazy shit down there if we went down there. But I wasn't going to go, was not about to go downstairs, you know, by myself, especially if the house is about to freaking collapse. And I don't want to be in the basement, you know, just get me on the second floor so I can make a quick escape. But yeah, dude, it had to have shaken for a good 3 or 4 minutes, dude. And I'm just standing there with my jaw wide open. I'm like, holy shit. And yeah, bro, it was a crazy intense experience. And yeah, I kind of got away from all that stuff because it was having a big impact on my life, you know, negatively. And I kind of got away from it. But yeah, that was a crazy 5-day week experience, because we went there for 2 days before, and then we went back for another 5 days. Yeah, dude, it was crazy.
Man, you very rarely hear, you know, stories with that much activity in one place and that many people witnessing it at the same time. What are your thoughts on what it is? Do you think it's more, it's along the same lines as like residual energy, or did this feel like it had an intelligence and immediate consciousness to it?
I think that this, whatever was in that house, the entity or whatever was in the house, I don't think there was just one thing, right? It was multiple things all coalescing into one. You know, we all hear the stories of things being built on, you know, ancient Native American burial grounds, and the foundations of houses have been there longer, and they hold certain energies with the different kind of stones that houses are built with, you know, limestone, sandstone, yeah. All of these different things are, you know, conductors of energy. And I think it all contributes to it. And then also the environment and the energy that you put into it. So all of the people that lived there previously, their negative energies could have radiated out onto the property and onto the environment that kind of triggered the activity in some kind of way. But it was definitely it was more of a psychological kind of haunting, right? And I think that that's attributed to demonic activity and poltergeist kind of activity, because from my understanding is the demons, the demonic entities, now whether you believe in the Judeo-Christian version of demons, I'm only describing them that way because that's the standard version of how to describe these entities, you know? So from my understanding of demonic entities, it's not so much, it's not like a haunting type thing. It's more of like an attachment to the individual, and it can be attached to the environment just as easily as it can be attached to the individual. And demonic hauntings don't do too much with the environment. It doesn't really mess with your everyday objects. It's not like a poltergeist activity. You know, it's more of on an individual basis, and it's a psychological manipulation. It wants you to do things to people. It wants you to do things to yourself. You know, things that you would not normally ever do.
Yeah, it's, you know, just like a spiritual attachment, you know, the definition that you commonly hear of people or items or objects or houses with attachments. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I think that's what was really going on there, was more of a malevolent, again, kind of demonic haunting. And it's not going to be so much with, you know, seeing things, because I think that these demons and these negative entities, they don't really want to be seen. You know, they just want to take over the host and do everything that they can to destroy and break down people psychologically, to manipulate them, whether that's through your thought process, your ideas, your beliefs, hurting yourself, hurting others. Because if full control over you to hurt someone else, they'll immediately revert to you. They'll be like, okay, well, I can't manipulate you enough because, you know, to get you to hurt someone else or, you know, damage someone else, then I'm going to immediately flip it back on you. Someone is going to be hurt. Someone's going to be damaged in this process. And 9 times out of 10, it is the host of the spirit attachment.
Man, you've had a great kind of spiritual and paranormal understanding from a young age. I know a lot of people who have that. They shut down at a certain point in their lives, you know, during teenage years maybe, and they just want to just be a normal person and not experience anything of that nature. And, you know, I guess, and also the outside influences, friends and family and stuff, kind of pressured them to do that. Did you ever experience anything like that along your path where you didn't want to deal with this stuff anymore, you just wanted to kind of live normally?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't really know what it was. You know, I thought that, you know, everyone experienced that kind of thing. So I kind of kept my mouth kind of tight-lipped about it. I, you know, I didn't really Because whenever you assume everyone experiences the same thing, you don't tend to talk about it too much. You know, you can kind of let it be an unspoken kind of thing. But yeah, it did kind of get shut down on me whenever I was a kid. Not so much with the seeing things and experiencing things, but with my intuition and my seeing of future events and the psychic abilities that I had was definitely shut down. And you know, that's the blame on you know, your environment and the people that you have around you. And also it's the blame on you. You know, you voluntarily shut it down, but it becomes difficult whenever you can't talk about them. And I think that's what happens to a lot of younger kids whenever they do try to describe these things that they're seeing and the experiences that they're having. It inevitably gets kind of shut down on them through their parents, their siblings, their family members. And it tends to kind of fold in upon itself and inadvertently shutting down those abilities, but they can always be opened back up. And, you know, that's what I'm learning now, and that I can handle the kind of information to a certain degree. I can handle the information. I can handle seeing things, and it's not going to break my psyche, because that happens to some people too, that they can't process it, and they constantly are trying to wrap their logical brain around what's happening, and they can't. So it breaks something in their mind psychologically, you know, and then they in turn don't really know what to believe, and they're just kind of in a limbo kind of state. But trying to, you know, work on those kinds of different abilities now that I have a better grasp on, you know, what's happening and what's going on. And then I can kind of go back and I can relook at some of these events and some of these things that I've had happen to me throughout my life and throughout my childhood and realize it and come to terms with that. And then that tends to open you up more in the here and now and later on in life.
Right. Now, you also said that later on you kind of it shifted to more of spiritual downloads that you were experiencing instead of the kind of psychic or precognitive abilities. And this is something that actually you still experience to this day. Is that right?
Yeah. The two presentations that I've done on your show were all downloaded information to me spiritually. The first one, exiting the simulation, returning the source, was downloaded information. The second presentation, Attack on the Heart, Fight for Sanity, was also downloaded information. And it kind of comes in waves, you know, and I think it's been timed out perfectly for me to, again, wrap my brain around what's happening, because I think it's about timing, right? Because if whatever were to give me all of the information at once, again, it would overload me, and then I would just not be able to decipher anything. It would just be a bunch of gobbledygook bullshit nonsense that no one can make any kind of sense of. You know, so it's kind of been over a period of time, and I didn't even realize after the first spiritual download that I made the presentation for, Exiting the Simulation, Returning the Source, I didn't know that there was going to be another one after that, you know, until the other one came. And then I started putting the pieces together and figuring out the correlations between the two. And then after I was done with the second presentation, I received the third download of the trilogy. And then I realized, well, it's a three-part series, you know, it's a three-part trilogy. And once, I finished the third one, which I'm working on right now. I've kind of been slacking on it because I have other things, you know, going on and other things that I'm doing, but it will be finished and it's going to connect a lot of the dots between the first and second one. And then it's going to bring on new information as well. And what I've discovered about these spiritual downloads is because a lot of people, they think that they're coming from outside of us. And some of that might be true. I don't really know, but I'm under the impression that it's not coming from outside of us. It's actually coming from within us because we have all of the information from the universe inside of our being. We've been here for thousands of freaking years, Chris. We basically know everything. It's just a matter of tapping into it. And I think people have misinterpreted the information that is coming from outside of us whenever it's really coming, from inside of us. And we just don't know it because we want to give credit to other beings and other kind of entities. And that comes from, you know, religious indoctrination and religious programming, constantly looking outside of yourself for solutions and answers to your problems. And then whenever something positive comes along, we tend to always give credit to those external beings too. When and maybe some of it does come externally, right? But I think that we need to be giving ourselves more credit for the knowledge and the things that we have within us, because we are we're multidimensional freaking spirit beings, bro.
Yes,
not a lot of people know what that even means. And that's okay if you don't, know what it means. But to me, it means that we exist on every level of reality simultaneously, right? There's infinite versions of us going out there running around doing different things, some different, some the same, some completely different, some negative, some positive, right? Yep. But we can actually tap into that if we allow ourselves to. And then we also have if you look at all those things as like a higher self, like an oversoul. Some people call them spirit guides. They have all these different names for these entities and these beings that are assisting us. But I think that they are really all us. They're just different versions of us out there. And they're trying to help us and get us on the right path. And sometimes it doesn't work out according to plan, and that's okay too, you know. But I think that we've delegated our power so much as individuals to outside people, places, and things for far too long. You know, we need to be going within and giving ourselves more credit, because we are very powerful as a conscious being. Our consciousness has the power to do unimaginable things, but the environment and the system that we're in doesn't let us grow and develop those abilities properly. We're stuck in a very small contained box of thoughts, ideas, and beliefs. You know, and anytime that you try and step outside of that box, you're herded and you're shepherded right back into the box. You know, so it's a very difficult process, and it's not easy to get through all that and realize that we are magnificent beings. We are creators, and the way that we create is through our thoughts and our imagination. You know, and they want to do everything that they possibly can, Chris, to turn that off.
You're right.
They don't want us to have an imagination. They don't want to have us thinking critically and with common sense. And they want to turn that dial slowly but surely off. So we are turned into robots. We're turned into an inorganic life form that we are easily herded and shepherded into a certain category that just goes along with all of the bullshit, basically getting rid of individuality and placing a blanket system over everyone, that they need to follow these rules and have this thought process, have these ideas.
And that was just 2020. Wait till next year. No. But you're fucking spot on 100%. And I want to go back to something you said about timing. How, you know, it was very important timing when a lot of the spiritual downloads happened for you. And I think it's important timing for me as well, and for a lot of people. And even though I believe time doesn't exist as we perceive it, of course, just like you were saying, we probably exist simultaneously on many different levels and many different dimensions. And time is probably not linear. But when we look at time, I think that 2012, this year, was a very important year as far as timing and the events that were occurring and what happened to me and what happened to a lot of other people around this period of time. Because before 2012, I was completely asleep. I was, you know, lost in a terrible marriage, addicted to drugs, just, you know, kind of sailing through life, not really noticing what the hell's around me, completely asleep, basically. Then 2012, something happened, and there's nothing I can put my finger on. There's no specific event that I can look at to say, hey, this kind of woke me up and got me thinking and got me looking, you know, on the interwebs for weird stuff and conspiracies and truths and, you know, and having these spiritual awakenings and epiphanies after 2012. But I talk to so many people that say, yeah, this is the year. This is the year something kind of started to bubble in my consciousness and get me wanting to seek truth and feel a little different. And then half of the planet's like, well, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. 2012, just another year. What about for you? Was this year special for you?
Honestly, like I'm not good with dates or times. Like that's
yeah.
That's something that I really try and not pay attention to, because I think time has been really set up for us to look back on. That's why this is going to sound weird, but and really conspiratorial, but you know, we're on Forbidden Knowledge News, baby. Anything goes. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I think that's the reason why they have these holidays, why they have birthdays, why they have, because they're reminders of how much time has passed. And what do we associate with time? We associate getting older with time, right? And what do we associate with getting older with? We associate getting older with death, right? So if we didn't have these kinds of constant reminders of dates and times and events and things, then we would have no reference for time. And I think that we could possibly live a lot longer. That would increase our time span of life if we didn't have a constant reminder of it every freaking year.
That's very interesting.
Saying you're not going to die. Everyone's going to freaking die, bro. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, that's an indisputable fact of life that we're going to die. But I think that it's really been set up in an inadvertently negative way to constantly remind us that we're getting older, you know, because we're constantly told all the time that the life expectancy rate is 80 years old in the United States, you know. So what is that doing to our subconscious mind? That's telling us that by the time we're 80 years old, that our life is basically over. Now, whether it's actually going to be over at 80 years old or you live another 20 years, you're still subconsciously getting programmed that this is your lifespan and you are probably not going to live past this age. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, yeah, that's really interesting, and I've never thought about it like that, but it's definitely something to keep in mind, because I'm all about that, mind over matter and self-manifestation, and we create our own reality. So, 100%, I think that is very possible. But I do want to go back to this kind of time frame of, about, 10, 11 years ago, where I've noticed a lot of people kind of started to shift. Now, some people were already on that path. Some people were already starting to shift pre-2012, and they were, they already had that that momentum of consciousness going in that right direction. But it seemed like it was kind of like a trigger year, or something happened to where a good portion of the planet just started, a spark went off in the consciousness. Is that something that you noticed, maybe not for yourself, but for others, or have heard this before?
Yeah, I have. I have heard that before, and I think it's interesting when you bring that up, because something definitely did happen. But for me personally, I think that I've always kind of had that thought, that something isn't quite right with our reality. That was always in the back of my head, like there's something more going on here that we are not being told about, And I think I just kind of needed a push in that direction. And once I got that push, all of these different things started, opening up to me. Because first I was kind of, back whenever I was, in my early teens, I was kind of into the Judeo-Christian religion and stuff like that. But I always knew something was off about it. I never fully bought into it. Things weren't making sense. It was very cryptic messages, like something was missing, like they took like a giant freaking chunk out of what we call the Bible and just threw it out, and it turned out that that's exactly what they did, with the Nag Hammadi scriptures, they did that exact thing. So I've always had that that thought in the back of my head that there's more that's going on. I just needed that oh my God moment, where I was like, where the answers kind of started coming to me, because when you're constantly reinforced with the same things over and over and over again, that becomes a part of the programming, right? It's repetition through an authority figure. That's what a preacher, that's what a pastor, that's what these what politicians, that's what they all do. It's the same formula, right? Yeah. They get up there, they tell you what's going on, and they never differ from what they're saying. It's just that it's the same script with different freaking words. So there was always that hint of it in the back of my mind, and I knew whenever I would stumble upon the information that would expand me, I knew that I would jump right on it. And that big moment was for me was really the documentary Zeitgeist. And whatever you think about Zeitgeist, whatever, it doesn't matter. But it was a consciousness expanding documentary for me, because it answered a lot of questions, and it got into all of these different aspects of our reality. The big topic in there, which was what it was really based around, was 9/11. And then it got into religion, and then it got into the monetary system, showing us that, how everything is so screwed up, and it started with religion. Religion was the first indoctrination into this reality that put us in a kind of slave mentality, that you have to follow these set of rules. If you don't follow these set of rules, then you're not a part of the group. You know, and seeing that, you know, all of these different religions that came before Christianity had the exact same Christ figure in them, you know, Osiris, freaking Krishna, all of these other gods were born of a virgin birth. All of these gods had 12 disciples. All of these guys, it's the exact same formula that's been regurgitated, all originating from the original freaking story. And it's just been changed and manipulated to fit a certain narrative and whatever the people in power at that time on the planet wanted to put into it. I mean, there's so much proof that the Roman Empire completely fabricated and wrote the entire New Testament.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I know that might get some people in an uproar. I didn't necessarily want to go the religion route with this, but it just proves the point that everything has been so screwed up in our reality and manipulated to fit a certain viewpoint and to get us locked and anchored into a certain version of reality that has been placed there for us to buy into. And then that's the way that they do it with everything. It's not just with religion. It's not just with it's with what's going on now. You know, yeah. It's to get you bought into a certain version of the world and a certain version of reality. And then whenever you believe in that certain version of reality, then you get locked into it. Right. And whenever you believe it, you manifest it in your life. And that's the way, that's the nature of reality and how our 3D reality works is through our belief. Belief is the most powerful emotion and thought process that we can possibly have. And that's the way that they have manipulated and turned everyone against each other, creating the division and getting people bought into an illusionary reality that is no, you know, realer than anything else.
Yeah, right on, man. That's the reality we're living in, but we're also witnessing a shattering of reality right now. I've known from this gut feeling I've had from just an early age. You know, I've never had paranormal experiences at an early age. Not really, couldn't say, you know, precognitive or psychic experiences. I've just always had this gut-wrenching feeling that I would be a part or live during times of extreme craziness, that things would be happening during my lifetime that many previous lifetimes had never witnessed. A very important time on our planet, an apocalyptic time, and not, you know, maybe not necessarily fire and brimstone and demons come and rape people, but a revealing time, a time where all is revealed, all the lies, all the things that we have been told that is not reality, and a realization that our reality is much stranger than even fiction that we've been told, and that there are things that exist just beyond the spectrum of our vision that could bring most men to tears or a heart attack. But they exist, and I think that we will indeed live through these times where a lot of this is going to be revealed, and we're starting to see it already. And we're already starting to see, like the Book of Revelation say, men crumbling with fear, shrinking with fear, not being able to handle what they're seeing before them because of fear. And this is very true, even though it is a Bible verse that may have been rewritten or manipulated. This is what's happening. And I think the whole Book of Revelations is a sort of playbook for what we're seeing today in a way. It may not be exact, but we're living through prophetic times either way, in my opinion. And I think that a lot of us have been being prepared for that by the universe, our spirit guides, ourselves, whatever, in the past few years because we knew or they knew that this was coming and they wanted to wake up a portion of humanity that needed to be waken up during these extraordinary times. That's just my opinion, and it's just a gut feeling that I've had, and it gets stronger and stronger every day from the time I was 5 years old till now. What do you think about that?
I think that human beings are good at heart, right? And whenever things start to go down, and when things really start to pick up, people are going to do the right thing, right? And I have faith in my fellow human being that they will shed their differences of thoughts, ideas, and beliefs, and we will, for the most part, come together in a solidarity. I mean, that doesn't mean that you know, we all stand together all together in a big giant group, right? It can be a conscious liberation, because the consciousness of the human beings on planet Earth have been suppressed for a really long time. And I think that that's what we're seeing. And I think that's what you're talking about, Chris, is the revealing of the increase of consciousness that's going on the planet. And some people can handle it and some people can't. And I hope that the ones that have been suppressed for a really long time, in years and years and years and years, can start to break that kind of programming and realize that things are not the way that they've been presented for a really long time. But we're vastly approaching the end game, right? This is Marvel Avengers Endgame. Right now we're
can I be Thanos, please?
Oh, but we're getting there, and we're getting there quick. The timeline has started to speed up, right? And now is really the time to dig down deep and figure out who you are as an individual person, because that's a big issue and a big problem, Chris. And the reason that we've been so indoctrinated and so controlled is because nobody knows who they are, right? They're just going along with everyone else, and whatever anybody else tells them, they kind of take at face value, especially when it comes to mainstream media authority figures and things like that, because again, we've been programmed to take those people at their word. You know, so right now is the perfect time before it becomes too late, because there is going to come a time where it's time to take the training gloves off and put on your freaking your boxing gloves, like your real boxing gloves. And again, don't misinterpret that either as that we need to be going out there and fighting and going, you know, guns blazing, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying spiritually, emotionally, getting yourself in shape, because the things that are going to be coming is going to be unbelievable to a lot of people. And ones that have been fanning the flames of this whole NWO system that they want to bring about in the world are suddenly going to see that that is a very real reality that if they keep going, they're going to have to live in. And then they're going to be looking around, Chris, and they're going to be like, why is everything on fire? Well, you were the one that was fanning the flames of the fire.
Yeah.
You know, and you're turning around and asking why everything's on fire. You know, but that's what's going to happen. And they're going to come to a very sudden realization that everything that they thought that they were fighting for the betterment of humanity with, you know, public health and public safety has all been a giant sham. You know, and there's only two ways that you can go with that. You can either double down on it, you know, you can either go far, you can, you know, go head first farther down into it, which doesn't do anyone any favors, or you take responsibility and you say that you're wrong and you say that you screwed up.
Yep. And you definitely have to pick a side right now, and you hit the nail on the head. I think that it's very easy to tell what the right side is. It's the side that takes responsibility and can admit when they're wrong, and the other side is always full of shit.
Exactly, dude. And that's a huge key in self-mastery, is taking responsibility. But see, they've programmed people that so deep, Chris, that they think if they tell the truth and actually take responsibility, that they are going to be punished in some way.
Yeah.
You know, and that creates embarrassment, you know, and people don't like to be embarrassed. But I promise you, if you take responsibility for your actions, no matter if it's big or small, a giant weight will be lifted up off of your shoulders. And not only will it be for the benefit of you in your individual reality, it will be a benefit for everyone around you and the collective reality as well. You know, that's how we heal and we take care of a lot of these things, is taking personal responsibility and admitting when we're wrong. And I guarantee you that me, Chris, anybody that does this, that has shows like this, anyone in this community will welcome you with open arms if you flip and you see the reality of what's happening. You know, we will welcome you. You know, we're not going to shun you for making mistakes and going down the you could call it negative side, the dark side, whatever you want to call it. We can forgive you because, again, we've forgiven ourselves, and everyone makes mistakes. You know, you could be the most spiritual freaking peace person in the world, the most perfect entity, perfect being, but that doesn't mean that bad shit isn't going to happen. Bad shit's going to happen no matter what. Doesn't matter if you have the most money in the freaking world. Doesn't matter if you have the giant freaking most gorgeous girlfriend, the biggest house, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. You know, you're actually probably more than likely going to run into more problems if you have all that stuff. Right. But that's just to show you that it doesn't matter what all you have. And if you're the best freaking being on the planet, bad things are still going to happen, but it's all in how you deal with it and your reaction to the events. The reaction is literally the only thing that we can control in our personal reality, you know, and we want to constantly try and control people and manipulate places and things to our benefit, but that it ends up backfiring on us at some point, you know. So we have to be able to control our reaction, our emotional response, and that's what's going to get us through all the crazy. Because trust me, Chris, you know this, I know this, everyone in this space know this, it's going to get crazy. You know, yeah. And it might not be next week, might not be next month, might not even be next freaking year. But some point down the line, things are going to be in trouble. Things are going to happen that, and again, I don't know what these things are because I'm not a freaking fortune teller, you know, but there's only one way we can go with this, and that's down, right? The things like this just can't happen in our reality without any kind of repercussions for them, right? You just can't shut down the entire world for 2 years and not expect things to incrementally break down. But that's the thing, is they got a plan to where it's not just all going to happen at once. It's going to be one thing, and then that thing is going to create a chain reaction, and it's going to be the next thing, and then the next thing after that. And before you know it, we're going to be in some sort, some kind of dystopian nightmare that nobody really seen coming because it caught everyone off guard. So, and I hope and pray that that doesn't happen, but that is what I see. And I know that a lot of other people in this space see, and I'm never going to not say the truth as I see it. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything because that's not the type of person I am. I'm very straightforward in everything that I am. And I know some of this is tough to hear, but it's, there's no other option.
Well, if we're doing, you know, if we're doing our job right, maybe, just maybe we'll get a few of these people to see and smell the coffee and see what's going on in reality. But yeah, very well said, Ryder. I want to thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for coming on today. Fantastic information. And before you go, let everybody know about Raised by Giants, where they can find you, all your social media. Hoe yourself out, boy.
Oh, yeah. Hoeing time, baby. You can subscribe to Raised by Giants on YouTube. I release a video a week. I do an interview with a guest. I bring someone on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. PST, 7 p.m. MT, 9 p.m. EST. You can also follow the show on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Download the episodes individually on Spreaker. You can follow my Instagram page at Raised by Giants Pod, and then you can also like Raised by Giants on Facebook. Tomorrow I have Diesel Automatic. He's a conscious rapper, rap lyricist, he calls him, freedom fighting lyricist, that's been writing conscious hip-hop and rap music for the past decade. This is the second time I've had him on my show. That will be released tomorrow at 6 p.m. It will premiere. So if anybody wants to jump in the chat tomorrow at 6 p.m., Tuesday at 6 p.m., I would love to have any of you guys over there that's resonated with anything that I've said here today. I try to be very objective whenever I speak and whenever I bring my guests on. So hope you guys come over and subscribe over there or on any of the podcast platforms and find a nice home over there. Thank you so much, Chris. I love you, dude. And I appreciate all the work that you do. You're doing a incredible job. I don't know how you do it, but you're putting out content every day, and it's a beautiful thing. And I think if we keep at it and we keep pounding this stuff into people's heads, we will inevitably get somewhere. So thank you for all that you've done, Chris. You've really been a staple in this community, and I appreciate you so much, brother.
Oh, thank you, brother. And everyone, you can go check out Raised by Giants right now on all those wonderful platforms, and you can also find it on the Forbidden Knowledge Network at forbiddenknowledge.news. Thank you, Ryder. We'll be talking again soon. He also occasionally joins us for Day Zero on Sundays. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We will speak again tomorrow.